the gangland warfare, which has taken hold in Dublin's city centre in recent months, tends to portray parts of our city in a negative light and in a dangerous light. Videographer Mark Kelly, however, grew up in Dublin 1 and he's just completed a communications degree at DCU. As he wrote this week, he is saddened and angered by the thought of many of those he knew growing up who have become embroiled in the feud and haven't had the success that he's had so far. Now he's calling on the government and on society to make changes and to improve life prospects for young people growing up in the area that he calls home. So Mark, thanks very much for joining us on the show. You wrote a very successful article on the Journal this week and it's certainly got a lot of people talking.
Thanks, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I don't know, I wasn't expecting it to get such a reaction, if I'm being perfectly honest. So I was a bit taken aback. So yeah, it was nice to see actually.
And when you write about your home place and in the context of the feud that's going on at the moment and the stories that have been in the media of late,
yeah.
How do you kind of feel about that area? Like, what's your kind of sense now reflecting after finishing your degree on the area that you grew up in?
That's just sympathy towards the area. Just because I know, as I said in the article, that a lot of these people, probably not all of the people, but a lot of these people are getting brought into this crime at a very young age. I mean, you know, they should be at an age where they're probably, you know, deciding, you know, what underwear to wear that day, but instead of deciding whether they should be in a gang or they should be committing crime. So it kind of saddens me, actually. And then even just being people born into by their family name, you know, that's how people get dragged into it. So yeah, it does sadden me because I know that there's a lot of successful people from the area and I know that they're probably not getting the help that they need right now, or they're never really getting the help that they need actually. So I feel a bit of sense of sadness. I don't feel anger at them. I don't feel ashamed of them really. I feel sad that they got caught up in that kind of thing.
It's more an anger at society, I guess, like that has kind of created the conditions that people get caught up in that cycle. But like, was there one particular thing that would have triggered you to write this article this week?
Not really, no. On a night out a few weeks ago, I with my college friends, I was walking back. I told them, I asked them if I'd want to walk back to like where I grew up. And they all said, yeah. And when I brought them back, they actually said, you know, actually, this isn't that bad. They didn't like witness any crime. They didn't come across any bad people. So just, I suppose I was kind of just writing it in hope of kind of maybe hope of changing people's opinions towards the area. And even, I suppose you're around college and you're kind of hurting these people, like class of scumbags and, you know, low life. And as I'm saying, I'm not defending their crimes. I'm just saying that there's a deeper reason and there's kind of a deeper level to why they're getting involved. And I suppose even if I could, you know, change a couple of people's minds, then it was worth writing the article.
And how did you feel in the area yourself when you were growing up as a child and you were that age? And, you know, there was people kind of born into families that maybe they were, you know, very deprived. But, like, was there a lot of crime and a lot of drugs in the area when you were growing up? Or how did you kind of feel about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of petty crime. I mean, it was never really, like, every now and again, you know, a gang down field would pop up and there'd be a couple of murders. But that's never always been a constant thing. That kind of comes and goes. But there's always been a lot of petty crime. And I didn't, like, when you're kind of young, you're kind of, you know, ignorant to it, I guess, and you're not really that aware of it. But then, even then, like, it's very easy to get, like, you know, caught up in the wrong gang at a very young age. I mean, you could just go to a game of football with a new gang of people that you've never seen before, and next of all, you know, these guys are going out and they're committing, they're not committing massive crimes, but they're committing, you know, they'd be smashing windows or stuff like that, and then it's very easy to get caught up in that. And then once you're caught up in it, then a lot of kids have a fear of walking away from it because of the attempt that then maybe they'll get beaten up by their gang, or, you know, they'll be bullied or whatever. So it's hard for people to walk away. It's not as easy as some may think. I know, getting involved is a choice, but the choice at such a young age that they shouldn't have to make at that age, you know?
And how did you feel then, like, as a kid in school? Obviously, you stayed in school and you finished your Leaving Cert and you've gone on to great things since. But was there a kind of stigma in the area about being in school, or, you know, were you kind of ever pressured into kind of doing anything other than that?
No, I was never, like, pressured. And some of my close friends have gone on to be in prison. And but I just kind of, I was kind of lucky that maybe my family raised me right, and that they kind of taught me what was right from wrong, and I was lucky enough to get away from it at a very young age. But in school, like, there was never a stigma of, like, going to school and stuff. Like people, you know, it'd be kind of not seen as uncool, but, you know, at that age, nobody wants to go to school, really. So you're kind of, like, you're seen as, I don't know, you're just kind of seen as anybody else, but you're just getting out there, you're not being pushed to go to school to, you know, go to university or go to college. Like, you know, your parents wouldn't put massive pressure on you to be getting 400 or 500 points. It's just literally, you go to school, like, you spend 6, 7, 8 hours a day. So you're not on the streets at those times. So that's like kind of what the vision of school that we had. We never really had that kind of academic, like, you know, that academic pushed for us.
And coming from that background then, when school was more about being in the building rather than maybe academic success on the level that some other schools around the country or indeed around yeah. Dublin particularly might have, like, how did you find yourself then, the transition period, say, from finishing your Leaving Cert into going into DCU? Was that kind of an easy thing for you to do, or how did you push through the barriers that kind of keep others back, I should say?
Yeah. I didn't find it too hard. I was kind of lucky that I always kind of had a natural curiosity for reading. So I used to, like, always read online. So I didn't gain any kind of knowledge or intelligence from, like, the skill book. I just gained it from life experiences and stuff like that. So I didn't find the transition too hard, actually. I was kind of expecting it to find it harder. Like, albeit, if anybody's into this, they're sure they know, they'll tell you that I messed around and I sat on the couches and for a long time, but
I think a few of us did that in DCU, though. We wouldn't say
yeah,
that was unusual.
Exactly, yeah. It's but again, but I didn't find the transition too long, but I too hard. I beg your pardon, but yeah, no, actually, I found it grand. That's another thing that kind of pushed me to write the article, because I realised that, like, you're in school in the city, you're seeing university, and you're kind of thinking of all geniuses and stuff like that, and, you know, the highest of the highest. But when you get there, and I was realising that actually this isn't actually that hard. So I should encourage other people to do it too.
Absolutely. And when you were in college then, and you were going through all the crack that we had in different societies and through journalism, communications is very outgoing. When you were reading stories then, and you were seeing, like, some of your friends obviously got kind of entangled in a very bad kind of scenario, like, how did you feel about that? Like, did you ever feel kind of like anger at the actual kind of crimes and the things that were going on in your area, or was it always the sympathy for the people who were involved in it?
No, I would never. I don't have. When I say I have sympathy for the criminals, I don't have sympathy for, you know, the pain that they might inflict on other people. Like, there would be a couple of people that I have in particular that have, like, committed, like, really bad crimes and just really kind of, like, sociopathic crimes. So I wouldn't have any sympathy to, I guess, in, well, other than the fact that they could genuinely be sociopaths, I wouldn't have any other sympathy for them. And I would feel anger, and I'd feel probably, you know, ashamed, but at the same time, I do realise that a lot of them are a product of their environment, and, you know, if they had, it's not a crime, it's a choice, but if they were guided the right way when they were younger, or had the right support systems, or the right kind of outlets to express themselves, then, you know, they could have gone a different path a lot easier than the path they took.
And from your experience of growing up there, like, what do you think are the things that need to happen to change prospects for young people growing up in the area in future? Like, do you think that there should be decriminalisation of drugs, or do you think that the kind of Limerick model, say, where a lot of young people ended up in prison, like, do you think that's necessarily a helpful thing, a way to go, or?
Well, in terms of, like, drugs, like, the gangs who are, like, feuding at the moment, and the gangs who, like, are kind of, you know, perpetrating these crimes, they're drug crime lords. I mean, they make all their money from crime. So if, in terms of, like, the decriminalization of drugs, that kind of takes or legalization, it can take the control and sale of the drugs from their hands. So they no longer have money. They have no reason to get involved. And it also makes crime less attractive, because, you know, if these young lads aren't going to be making as much money from crime, then they're not going to get involved as much. And then in terms of, like, health, like, drug addiction is seen as a really a crime issue in Ireland at the moment, and there's a lot of people, like, heroin has literally ravaged the area for, I don't know, like, 20, 30 years, even more. So I think in terms of, the government should really start looking at addiction and drug issues as a health problem, because, like, they've done this for 30 years, they've looked at it as a crime issue for 30 years, and it's just got worse. So I think it's they should probably start changing their policies.
You've obviously thought a lot about it. Your article on the Journal was fantastic, with some situations and scenarios laid out that really would make people think in a different way about the area and the choices for young people. Like, would you ever think yourself of getting into politics or into policy making? Or
no, I don't think it's for me. Like, I mean, I do keep a keen eye on it, and definitely when it's going to affect my area or my home. I do keep a quiet, but I'm not sure if politics is for me just yet. Even, I mean, I that's the first ever article I've ever written. So
it's a good start.
I don't even.
It was a good start.
Yeah, it's a good start, but it's not. I don't think it's a career path for me. I think I'm more of a. I kind of have more art, as in I'd be more of a visual or kind of a sound person. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I ever came from it, but.
Well, you might have the skills for it if you ever looked into it. Like, if there are young people then kind of both in the inner city, but in terms of like outside that in North Dublin, who maybe find themselves kind of in like disadvantaged situations and you know, in kind of a difficult scenario, like what's the advice that you would give to them on your experience of having gone through university, and what would you say to young people who are faced with both of those stark kind of paths?
I don't know. I'd say just be patient. I went to a post PLC college, but like when I was like maybe 21 or 22, I wouldn't have been able for college when I was 16. I did my leaving when I was 16. I wouldn't have been able. I would have dropped out straight away. So a part of me is kind of happy that I didn't get the points, because I probably would have went a different route then from dropping out. But I'd say just be patient, because you know it takes time, but there's not a lot of support for young people to be patient. You know, they don't have the. You can't get social welfare maybe until you're 20 or when you finish school, and they don't really have a realistic chance of getting employment. So it's kind of hard for them to be patient. But that's if I could urge anything, it would be patience and just kind of try and believe in yourself and push on. And but yeah, like it's easier said than done, though. Definitely when you're coming from those kind of situations. So I have sympathy for people who can't have patience or don't have the patience. But yeah, I'd just urge them to be patient and always just. Trying to look ahead, and just because that's what I did when I was younger, you know, I was looking at my friends kind of getting jobs, getting education, and I was getting jealous or I was a bit upset. So I was like, I always kind of believed in myself and always knew that I would go on to get it, but it was just a matter of being patient. And when the time came, yeah, so.
Well, if people were going to take advice from anyone in that kind of area, I think you're the person with the expertise there to follow your lead. Thanks a million, Mark, for coming on and for telling us about that great article that you wrote. And again, I'd encourage everyone to check it out. Mark Kelly's article on thejournal.ie. It's well worth the read. Thanks very much, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And just a shout out to the people with NeurFM. I did work experience actually there when I was in school. So
fantastic.
Thanks for everything.
Great to have you on.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, and that was Mark Kelly there. Sarah, inspirational young man.
Yeah, great guy. He was a hard worker in college, and to see that the kind of path that he's trod and the people, you know, who he would have known when he was younger and the way that they've gone is amazing. Like to see that there is, it might be worth being patient, as he says, you know.
Yeah, and that little gap, I suppose, to take that break from finishing up with the Leaving Cert, you know, not getting points that are. Required.
Well, that goes for all people, I think, you know, I mean, there's no point in rushing into something that mightn't be for you or feeling pressurised, and maybe in some other schools there's more of an academic kind of pressure to go into college, and it's not necessarily, I think he's really kind of figured out where he wants to be and he's got
what he wanted to do, because some people just go to college for the sake of going to college as opposed to just taking a little bit of time, what would I like to do, maybe get a little bit of life experience. I don't like that expression of the gap year, but I think it's more a year or two or whatever it might take to actually get a bit of life experience and understand maybe what you actually want. Okay, thanks Sarah, thanks for that.